And on the eve of Australia Day, as we wait to hear who the Australian of the Year is, we take a look now at the 1973 recipient of the Australian of the Year Award, Patrick White. His novel Voss won the very first Miles Franklin Prize in 1957. Described as a heroic, brilliant novel, a wrenching tour de force, it's Patrick White's vision of the impenetrable Australian landscape which claims his protagonist, Voss. It was a similar fate for 19th century German explorer Ludwig Leichhardt, who disappeared without a trace in the Australian desert in 1848. So it's not surprising, given Patrick White's interest in German romanticism, that he based his character Voss on the enigmatic Leichhardt. Patrick White began work on the novel a decade after the end of the Second World War, and according to Dr. Angus Nichols, his ideas were influenced by Leichhardt's own writing. Angus Nichols is from the University of London's Centre for Anglo-German Cultural Relations. He says White was reading Leichhardt's letters in the original German 10 years or so before they were translated and widely studied. Angus Nichols is speaking with Deborah McCoy about the creation of Patrick White's Voss.
White himself had studied German at Cambridge. He studied modern languages there. He studied French and German. He got a fairly high mark for his degree in German. The transcriptions in his notebook of various quotations from German authors show us that actually his grasp of the German language was very good. And what we know from this is that when White was researching Voss, he was actually reading Leichhardt's letters to his family. These letters were written, of course, in German, and he's actually, in some places in the novel, paraphrased parts of Leichhardt's letters to his family.
Well, just before you talk about the tone and what Leichhardt was writing about to his family back in Germany, what other writers was Patrick White reading, if he was reading the original German?
Oh, well, I mean, when he was at Cambridge, White would have studied and did study the standard kind of canonical authors in German, Goethe, Hölderlin, Kleist, Thomas Mann. Thomas Mann even, I suppose, is an influence upon White. He went to Germany during the 1930s when he was a student to improve his German. So he would have had a good knowledge of the German canon from, I suppose, the 18th century until the 20th century, people like Thomas Mann coming at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's usually what's thought of as the basis for, or certainly what he drew upon when he was writing Voss.
That's right. I mean, criticism on Voss and work on White, a lot of it has spent time searching for particular influences upon White which would have led him to depict this kind of highly romantic figure in Voss, who wants to enter the landscape of Australia and even take possession of it in some way. And I suppose the great romantic idea is this kind of notion that the human self interacts with nature and takes from nature things which then expand the self and make the self into a more productive or creative entity than what it was before. A major source of that idea is, of course, Goethe's Faust, but it comes out in many other sources as well. While earlier critics and earlier scholars of White's works have been looking for high canonical sources for these types of ideas which we find expressed in Voss, actually, when we look at Leichhardt's letters and we look at the philosophical context in which Leichhardt was educated, and we also look at the kind of literary market that Leichhardt was writing for, because Leichhardt intended his letters to his family to be published, then what we can see from this actual correspondence of Leichhardt's are these key romantic ideas coming through. The idea, for example, of a deep relationship between the self and nature.
Well, maybe if you might just read a little for us, Angus. Yep. I think there's a direct reference to this in one of the extracts you quote, and that was about going out into nature to discover its source and its rules, essentially.
Was soll ich dir über meine Beschäftigungen sagen? Du erfreust dich der schönen Blumen und ihres Duftes. Du erfreust dich des grünenden Baumes.
What should I say to you concerning my activities? You delight in the beautiful flower and its perfume. You delight in the verdant tree and its shadow. You gaze over the forest and meadow from the earth to the starry sky. and you feel yourself to be moved by higher feelings, since so many voices speak to you of an infinite being unknown to you. If nature moves you in such a friendly way, how much more must she do this to me, in that I have made it my task to penetrate into her deepest secrets and to discover her eternal laws, according to which she functions so magnificently, so splendidly.
So viele Stimmen von einem unendlichen Wesen dir unbewusst sprechen.
So this is Leichhardt writing to his sister in 1843, mm-hmm. in a way that kind of embodies what you've been saying about that romantic ideal, that pursuit of something higher and better and grander in the study of nature.
That's right. And I suppose one way that we can see this letter is that it's a kind of performance, references to an infinite being which is inherent in nature, for example, which are kind of romantic motifs, which would have sent signals or resonated in a particular way with a certain class of German reader in that period in German history. What I'm talking about here is what Germans often refer to as the Bildungsbürgertum, so a certain class of educated German who would have read travel letters like this, in which the relationship between the self and nature is extolled in this rather grandiloquent, perhaps for us, overwrought way.
It's a sort of a German travel writing market that he's appealing to in this.
Absolutely.
But this isn't really about the journey of discovery. It's not about discovering new lands, new worlds, new ideas for the purposes of trade or commerce. It's about something else in the German context, isn't it? The German travel writing, or the interest in German travel writing.
Okay. I think what we're talking about here is not so much colonial conquest, because, of course, Germany did not have colonies at this period in its history, but rather the idea that when you travel to foreign lands and you see people living in different, perhaps non-European ways, then you can begin to understand perhaps certain essential laws of human nature. Anthropology as an academic discipline was being born, and it was born in Germany out of collections of travel literature. Leichhardt is consciously contributing to this type of discourse, this type of understanding of the self. So in a sense, the individual, the romantic individual, when he or she travels and when he or she encounters nature in a particular situation, discovers things about his or herself through that relationship between the self and nature. And through that discovery, there can also be a kind of broader understanding of different forms of nature and different forms of culture around the world as well. So we're talking in a sense about what we might call romantic science.
So this is a very different sort of writing, that is Leichhardt's writing in his letters to family members back in Germany.
Yes.
A very different sort of writing from the other writing that perhaps he's better known for, and that is the drier, more scientific recording of expeditions, for example, in the 1844-45 expedition, his journal of that record, of that expedition.
We need to remember that when Leichhardt completed his first expedition, he travelled from the Darling Downs region in Queensland to Port Essington. It was a journey, I think, of some 4,800 kilometres, and it was an extremely impressive feat of exploration, unsupported by any government in Australia. And when he returned to Sydney after this particular expedition, he was perhaps one of the most famous people in Australia at that time. And so very quickly he capitalised on that by publishing an expedition journal. He wrote that in English, and he wrote it with a particular audience in mind. That is to say, it's really a scientific document. And so these kind of heady passages which we find in the correspondence with his family are not so apparent. So what's significant about Patrick White was that he was in a position at that time when he was writing Foss to read Leichhardt's letters in the original language, and also to understand how the particular language used by Leichhardt belonged to a German tradition of romantic poetry and romantic writing. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, it was a very fortuitous meeting between Patrick White, the author who read and understood German very well and knew German culture on the one hand, and Leichhardt on the other, whose letters had not really at that point in Australian history been read by that many people, precisely because they are in German.
Yeah. There is a letter written by Patrick White in which he describes, well, really, it's a bit of an insight into the character that he wanted to create, that is, the character of Voss. And this was a letter written to his American publisher. And how does he describe Voss, which essentially is basing on Leichhardt? How does he describe it in that letter?
So this is Patrick Wright to his publisher, Ben Hoopsch, in 1956, so it's during the period in which he's writing Voss. Some years ago, I got the idea for a book about a megalomaniac explorer. As Australia is the only country I really know in my bones, it had to be set in Australia, and as there is practically nothing left to explore, I had to go back to the middle of last century. When I returned here after the war and began to look up old records, my idea seemed to fit the character of Leichhardt. But as I did not want to limit myself to a historical reconstruction, too difficult and too boring, I only based my explorer on Leichhardt. The latter was, besides, merely unusually unpleasant, whereas Voss is mad as well.
So it's clear that he wants Leichhardt, but he wants something more, and it's a particular kind of Patrick White Australian stamp that he wants to put on it too.
That's right. I mean, it would be a mistake to read Voss as an historical novel which is about Leichhardt. White was, of course, aware of Leichhardt as a figure, and he may have been aware of a particular interpretation of him, a particularly negative interpretation of him, which emerged from the book by Alec Chisholm, Strange New World, which was published in 1941. And it was based upon the letters of the naturalist and ornithologist John Gilbert, who was killed by Aborigines near the Gulf of Carpentaria during Leichhardt's first expedition. Obviously, the relationship between Gilbert and Leichhardt was not a good one, and what emerges from this book by Chisholm was an extremely negative view of Leichhardt.
Well, yes, how does he describe him?
Well, he describes him as, for example, a queer and unbalanced German who was an unworthy leader, given to self-centred dreaming, and who merely blundered through in this first successful expedition, and worse still, he is held to have sinned against the Australian principle of mateship, to have starved his dogs unnecessarily and foolishly, and to have thrashed mules for no reason whatsoever. So we get from this particular book about Leichhardt a very negative picture of him. And of course, we need to remember here that there's a kind of anti-German sentiment in Australia at this time because it's published in 1941. Leichhardt is an ambivalent figure in Australian cultural history in the sense that, on the one hand, he's the great explorer, who has a suburb in Sydney's inner west named after him. On the other hand, he's this kind of monomaniac German Teutonic explorer who gets lost in the Australian bush and who is seen in some sources as having been a rather unforgiving type of leader who really didn't fit well with the Australian culture in many ways.
So how does that representation, as sort of promulgated by Gilbert and Chisholm,
yep,
compare with what Leichhardt might have hoped for himself, given, as you say, that he hoped his letters would be published and okay, that he would be remembered as what?
I mean, certainly the way in which Leichhardt wished to be remembered is a fairly complex question, because when Leichhardt was writing, there was not necessarily a completely clear demarcation in Germany, or indeed in the English-speaking world, between literary matters on the one hand and scientific matters on the other. Of course, the German word for science is Wissenschaft, and around the middle of the 19th century, that term functioned as a kind of general marker for knowledge per se, whether it be theology or biology, let's say. Later on in the century, knowledge begins to bifurcate, if you like, into two different spheres, which we now associate with different faculties in modern research universities. And in German, they were Geisteswissenschaft, or the science of the mind or spirit, on the one hand, and Naturwissenschaft, or natural science, on the other. In a sense, because Leichhardt is situated prior to that bifurcation or that splitting off of the of the different disciplines, he saw himself as contributing potentially to both, right? So he saw himself on the one hand, and we see this in the journal of the first expedition, as very much a natural scientist who was interested in recording the geography and topography of Australia and also its biology. And on the other hand, in the letters written to his family, we see the literary Leichhardt, who is in a sense giving us a record of Geist or spirit, in the sense that what he's concerned to show his readers is the reaction of a German and of an educated German to the Australian landscape, and how that interaction between the self and nature is recorded.
Dr. Angus Nichols there from the Centre for Anglo-German Cultural Relations at the University of London, speaking with Deborah McCoy about the writing of Voss, Patrick White's 1957 novel.